This is a continuation of the December 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Vern and Mary Balkowitz.
Correct.
Petition 19010201 for account number 149130000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Vern Balkowitz in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Perfect.
So, unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. The only thing I've got, there's property around me that's being built. There's 7 acres right now that was sold in the last year for just a little over $425,000 for 7 acres. That's on Minnehaha Street or St. John's Boulevard. The property that I own is off of 40th Avenue. But the property itself, there's no water, power, sewer. I had another 3 years ago come in and give me a price of putting water, power, and sewer in for $978,000. They got to go 48 feet deep to take it from where we're at to go through the hill, come down and tie on. I own the four other pieces of property around this piece of property. I own Acre Concrete Cutting.
Can you put up a map?
But the problem that I have, there's an old house I've got rented. Matter of fact, I've had it rented for the last 24 years to the same people.
You own this one?
I own that one. Let me make it really easy. I own this. I own this. I own this. I own this piece right here. There's four of them that are there that I own. This is Acre Concrete Cutting there. This, from this point to this point, is 38 feet high. There's somebody sitting there. I own this house also. This is the house.
When you say 38 feet high, what is it?
The ground elevation moves 38 feet up and down. This is the problem. If we could come this way and tie on, I put a 27, when I built this building, I put a 27-inch sewer from here this way. I cannot tie onto that sewer. Has got to come from the north here. That's the problem developing this piece of property. I've actually talked to Koff several occasions to see if I could run with him and tie into it so it's more appealing. Bob Koff said no. And so I've exhausted everything. The property is the way it sits. I think it's worth $350,000. I'm getting $1,100 rent off of it a month. And when I got the appraisal and it went up over $100,000, I'm thinking, I got a problem. Now, I was
What's it zone?
Excuse me?
What is the zone?
Residential.
Well, the thing said residential property.
Light industrial.
Light industrial.
Well, they've changed it to light industrial. When I bought it, I had nothing to do with that. When Koff bought the 40 acres from the county, or from the bus barn, and started developing, the next thing I see that my property was light industrial. I can't deal with it.
It says it's single family residence on commercial land, so.
Yeah, that is true. It's a single family residence on commercial land. I didn't change it to commercial. When I bought it 25 years ago, it was residential. Hmm. And if you go back in the, I'm sure you can see when it went. When this changed is when the city, not the city, but the all the property beside us on the south side, there's 40 acres sitting in there.
All of this.
All of this going this way over, there's 40 acres, keep going.
Oh.
Yeah, if you keep going, this is all Bob Koff. This was earmarked for a high school 30 years ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
22 years ago, it was released. Bob Koff bought it and been sitting on it. Now he started. He built this building. That's your food.
That's the food warehouse.
Yeah. That's Merritt Construction. Bob's, all of his equipment's over here. And for him, for me to tie on to his, he said he couldn't do it because the city would not allow it on the development. And so the only way it could come is from the north.
Go back to the other direction so I can see it. I want to get my bearings because I'm pretty sure I know where that's at.
Sure.
Keep going a little further.
Okay, yeah. UPS, if you come down here, UPS. You come down here, UPS is right here.
Yeah, right.
State pipe, GTS, state pipe, coming through. This is Lucal Industrial Park right here.
So you'd have to come down from St. John behind the old...
I have to tie on across the side of the... I have to go on the north and come all the way down.
Right.
And they told me, this is the, right here. They says, this is the one from here to here. Is what the money is. They got to go 38 plus 4, so they got to go 40 foot deep. And as I said, I could bring Jerry Nutter in if you want me to, and or I can. I should have brought my quote from him.
Oh, you're under oath, so.
Sure, definitely. But that's what that is. And as I said, I got the property rented. If it wasn't such a costly venture to go ahead and do it, I'd have already done it. I built Bockel Construction. I own. I built this building 30 years ago. I was going to build here until I found out what it's going to take. So I'm just saying that the cost of it increasing that much, it's almost not worth it to me.
Will they not let you do a septic tank or something else?
No. I have to tie on. If I go commercial, I was going to build the building right there is 24,000 square foot. I was going to build an 18 and an 18. Which would give me 36,000 for square footage would pay me back over a 10-year period.
Right.
And that's what I was going to do, but it just wasn't cost effective.
No.
It just at the time it just didn't pencil out.
No.
Now I haven't put a pencil to it in the last 3 years. I did 3.5 years ago. I have my own. You can probably see some of my excavating equipment sitting right here, excavators and stuff. And those are 3 10-yard dump trucks that I own. I mean, I've got the equipment to do everything I need to do. It just wasn't penciling out, and it still didn't.
So, the sewer, is it available along this street?
The sewer comes down. The sewer comes across in here, turns, comes into here, then goes down. They did an RID from this point and an LID to there.
Okay, so...
There's nothing here. This goes this way. This goes from this point that way.
Seems like it'd be easier.
Power's there, water's there, sewer isn't.
So you'd have to do an LID or whatever to bring it from that?
Well, I wouldn't do an LID because I own both sides of the property.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't do an LID.
Yeah, you just have to pay for it.
I would take for the blunt. As I said, I looked into it very astutely. I was actually going to build 2 warehouses, and then my wife's been on my butt before they started building all these U-Storage about putting like 250 U-Storage in there and my dad build a house and have my dad there. Well, my dad passed, my father-in-law passed, and I'm not going to live there.
Is that 40th that comes out through there?
That's 40th stops. 40th comes here, it stops. I own the property. It's now been dedicated over to the county, and you can see where it starts to get in front of my shop. Has been dedicated. It's only 15 foot wide there. That's a dirt that has not been dedicated to the county yet. But that's 40th.
Well, there is a project on the books to extend 40th down there and close 40th.
No, that was that project farther south.
No, up there because they want to close the crossings on the railroad up there.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know, but I know.
And so they want to have that in order to close those crossings. They have to have other egress out of that area up above.
I know.
So they have to extend 40th down, and then on one of those other streets has to extend across.
Well, I know that they were going to do it here, but Fab Products, they had to offset, they came down and they had to offset the property, and you can see he built buildings right in the middle of the asphalt would be, and so I don't think that's going
to happen. Well, that project was to help develop that area into industrial for railroad use. And that
probably, you have any idea how long ago that was, Darren?
Within the last 5 years. It's been on the books. It was delayed, though, because of some other reasons, but that was a project that was to extend 40th down.
First I heard of this. Maybe I should wait and let them extend it, then go from there.
Well, if they extend 40th down there, then they got to do something in that road. And
I would think.
Have you talked to the assessor's office at all about this?
No, I have not.
Did you see the sheet that they provided for us?
I'm not seeing this. Yes.
Apparently talking about what income you generate. I don't know. It doesn't sound like you're generating, well, $1,100 a month from the piece that we're talking about.
Okay, it's either $1,000 or $1,100. I've got four pieces. There was four houses. I swear I do not. The people who've been living there have been living there for 25 years. The people that live in the house right here, this is their mother. This is the daughter that lives here. And they park their semis here. They work for Harvester Trucking Company. She's a dispatcher. I've never been in that building in 25 years, that one. I've been in that one twice. I remodeled the inside of the house, and I've not been back into it. They take care of it. This house I remodeled when I bought it 26 years ago, and I've not been in it in 25 years. They take care of it, they maintain it and everything, and I roofed them and that. I don't bother people, they don't bother me, and it works out extremely well. But the houses are in excellent condition. I mean, this one's 3,200 square foot in brick. But as I said, that's what that is, kind of their own community there. But I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention what is happening. If this was flat property on St. John's, the other property that they're developing is this right here. That just sold, and they're laying it flat right now. And I don't know if they're putting condos into it or houses.
It's residential, you're saying?
That is residential multi-use. But if this was easy to rebuild and do it, I can understand it. But
it says it's light industrial.
I thought they were putting condos in it, but I could be mistaken. I was told that.
$2.2 million in January of 18. And they're assessed at $1,300,000.
Well, they got it. They've been working now for probably a month,
Well, the big corner's up there, just not too far away.
No.
That area up there.
Yeah. Well, what do they do? Okay, other than the super fund is still involved and they're doing all that.
Well, they said it's been cleared for construction, even though they still have some wells on it testing.
Yeah.
Testing the flow, but they have worked on it and leveled it, and they said they could build a commercial or.
I heard the Safeway was going to come in and build on this, or that it steps up and comes in. That Safeway was going to build here. That was 5 years ago, and nothing's ever happened.
Nothing's happened, yeah.
But
you're not involved with the Superfund problem with the.
No, I actually I've been down more than once and. I looked at the building that they were in, Boom Sub. They built a new building there on 68th Street, 500 feet from my building. I went in and looked at it about buying it, and they would not give anybody a hold harmless. It was an open, whatever they find, whatever you consume, whatever's there. And
well, I thought they pretty well had that plume taken care of.
Well, you talk to one guy, it is. You talk to somebody else, and they don't know. And it's the unforeseen. I don't want to be the one that has babies that turn out the three legs.
Well, yeah, I know. They got four or five wells on that big property up there that are testing.
They had 14 wells on that property.
Yeah.
We went over and I own Akron Concrete Cutting, and we went over and did some geotesting ourselves with the CP-145 when they started, before they come in with the big rotaries. I've got small units that come out, little trailer mounted thing. And I did that for Pacific or Gromley or one of them. That's been a long, long time ago. And we just drilled down 20 feet and gave them the samples and walked away. And as I said, at that time, I thought they were just going to build. I didn't know that the plume was setting that way. The next thing you heard that the guy from Boomstub had it back there, and then they built a new building, and they encapsulated it. Well, the new building, one of the guys come in and
weren't they further up on 78, though?
They were in 78.
Move it over just a little
over,
bit.
They're right there.
Yeah, move it over a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in that area.
Where they were right back in here.
Where the gas company is.
Yeah,
now.
They're behind. You got the pumps and everything, they were right back in here. But when they built the new building down here, obviously that was where it was. And then 2 or 3 months after they moved into the new building, somebody dumped pure chromate down the soil.
Oh, great.
And then I had the FBI come up on my ass because we start with the drain and go, you know, south. And so they started coming up, checking every hole and checking all the drains and everything to see where it started. And they tracked it down there. And then one day I come in, there was, must have been 15 guys that literally FBI green, FBI across their back, safety inspector. And they got us cornered, and I said, what's going on? Well, they can't talk to me. I said, well, I'm a landowner. I said, don't matter. So then 6 months later, I found out he had one of them. They were, the two guys who owned it were gay, and then one of them contracted something and was dying, and it went from there. And they put
okay, it. I think we got it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can, questions or anything?
This comp that you gave us, what is that? Related to it.
This sheet from John. My wife actually wrote one of them.
This one on 40th Avenue? I guess it's a comp for the house, maybe? Where is it, the house? It's actually the house.
It's yeah, the house.
That's a Zillow estimate on what the house is worth.
Oh, I see.
Okay, I want to make sure that it was one. I do get $1,000 a month. And she said 16 years. I think it's closer to 20.
I think it would behoove you to get some kind of an idea, if you could, and in talking with the assessor's office, some kind of an estimated cost to put sewer in there, because that's got to be the big thing. I mean, they're looking at the sale, and then I think it's probably somewhat assuming, and
so
the sale would have the utility, so you can have something down that says, you know, this is going to cost me $300,000 or $5 million or $50.
Well, you see, that's the thing. As I said, if we're comparing apples to apples, you know, you're paying for 7-8 acres on St. John's $1 million, $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. That, they come over and say, okay, well, this is 3 acres, it's got to be worth, let's say half of that, $500,000. We're not at, it's not apple to apples. It's going to cost me $1 million just to do that. Those guys are tying into the street. They're good to go.
They've already got it.
You know, they got everything. Yeah. I've got to put everything in.
And that's what you need, is some kind of a estimated cost in order to make it worth $500,000. What do I have to spend?
Yeah, exactly. But I just haven't put $1 million into it to make it worth $500,000. Doesn't pencil out.
All right.
Well, I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Closer.
This is a continuation of the December 6, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Patsy Eastman, trustee. Petition 190-10801 for account number 22656-0000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Sonia Eastman in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, it'll be the truth.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I believe that I'm being taxed at a higher rate, as I gave copies of the other houses, and their taxes, my taxes, are comparable to theirs.
you're talking about assessed values now?
Yes, assessed values.
We're more interested in what you did back here with your comparable sales.
Okay. On which one would you like to? Well, on the comparable sales, that the thing was is the sell price, and still have excuse me, I'm a little nervous. On the comparable sales, these are the houses. I went to a real estate agent, and these are houses that were within 5 miles, like a real estate agent would do.
That were comparable to your house?
That no, she said there was nothing comparable really to my house. But comparable to the taxes were these houses. And I told her, like I said, this is not comparable to my house. And she goes, you're being taxed on more. She goes, these houses have more square footage, more land, and you're having the same amount of taxes referred to you. And I said, how is that possible? And she goes, I don't know. But she says, from the houses around you, this is, you know, there's nothing that is sold lately that is comparable to my house within a 5 mile radius. But she found something comparable to the taxes that I'm being assessed at this point in time.
Okay.
Okay. So your basement, you have an 1183 in a basement. Is it finished or unfinished?
It's finished.
Okay.
The upstairs is a 3 bedroom, 2 bath. Mm-hmm. And then the downstairs is a bedroom and a bath with like kind of like a little living area, living room.
Okay.
But upstairs is just, you know, you got the little laundry room as soon as you come through the door, and then you have the kitchen, dining room, and living room. And it's really not that large, but you can see from end to end. And then it has 3 bedrooms, a bathroom, and a master bathroom.
So, and then you have a 1,200 square foot shop?
No, I have a 400 square foot living space that has a bathroom and an open room with a 2-car garage.
Okay.
In the back.
Is the total 1,200 square feet?
I believe so.
Okay, so 1,200 square foot. So it's like a guest could use it?
A guest can use it, but there's no kitchen or anything like that. Yeah. It's just a room with a bathroom.
Okay.
Put a narrow bed in there.
And yeah. Well, yeah.
You're
okay. A futon.
Put a kitchen in there. That becomes a real deal.
Yeah, they'll stay too long then.
Yeah. No. No kitchen.
Do you know about these other houses, whether they're finished basements or not?
I believe they were finished. I didn't bring pictures of them, but she said they were finished properties.
And how did you come up with the number that you used?
That I used? It was Jeff and from the real estate agent.
The 517?
Yes.
And that's less than last year.
Yeah, because I haven't done any updates and done anything to the property. She says
can you scroll up a little bit more, Mel, so we can see that last building sheet? I don't have any more questions.
I think we got the picture.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
See, that wasn't painful.
Well, I haven't been to one of these by myself, and it was a little nervous. It was like, okay.
Well, was Jeff busy today? He couldn't.
Yes, he was out of town, and it was like, I can't believe you're not going to take off work to go with me, you know? And he goes, I can't. He's out of the state.
Busy.
Yes. And he goes, you'll do just fine. He goes, I'll ask you questions, just answer them.
Yeah, you did just fine.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
This is a continuation of the December 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have a late file good cause request for Heidi Cobbs. This is for tax parcel 273915000. She was in Santa Cruz, California for 3 weeks taking care of her mother who had taken a bad fall, and she was unable to care for herself. So she flew down there to take care of her mother. She was unable to get her petition filed. As I remained with her the third week to ensure that she was self-sufficient and wouldn't suffer further complications.
She meets the criteria, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Serious illness or death.
How'd you look that?
Thank you. This is a continuation of the December 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Akil and B.G. Ram. Petition 190-11001 for account 127463124. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Akil and VG Ram in attendance. Will you both please raise your right hands to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing would be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, we do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so we have a few key points actually that we want to make.
Okay.
First and foremost, the total square footage and the land area of the subject property are uncertain at this point.
The what?
They're uncertain.
What? Maybe talk a little slower, because I didn't quite get that either.
What's uncertain?
The total square footage and the land area of our property are uncertain. Mm-hmm. And it might be the case that the assessor's records already reflect the basement square footage. And let me give you some background here actually. The assessor recently discovered that we have a fully furnished basement. And we were told by our homeowner's insurance agent and one realtor not to include the basement square footage for two purposes actually. For property tax calculation purposes.
It is fully finished, you said?
It's fully finished.
So what are they using for square footage? You don't know.
This is 1,000.
They're using zero data actually, okay? And we are not sure where zero is getting its data from. As per assessor's records, the total square footage is 3,365 for the main floor and the top floor. Mm-hmm. And Zillow is reporting the square footage as 4,750. So there's a significant discrepancy here.
That's not
going to
show me a total.
So there you got 3,300 square feet plus 1,000, so that would be 4,300 based on what they're saying.
That is correct.
And 1,000
basement. Yeah. And that's not what you think it is?
We don't feel like we are living in a home which is almost more than 4,000 square feet actually. Okay? So we are requesting the assessor's office to come into our home, measure all the areas that contribute to total square footage, and give us a detailed report. That's what we're requesting at this point.
Have you asked them that directly?
We have included that in our written petition to them, yeah.
Okay. And have heard nothing back?
Not with respect to this issue yet.
Okay, go ahead. Anything else?
Okay, the second key point is they are comparing our home to several move-in ready properties, but actually the properties that are recently sold. Right, in the first half of this year. And we feel that it is not very fair to compare an old occupied home. This home is almost 20 years old actually, okay? Which has several defects that need to be cured before we make the home marketable, right? The homes that have sold have been recently remodeled. Many of them have been remodeled. They have many high-end features. They have like 50-year roofs. They have high-end kitchens with shiny appliances and so on and so forth actually, okay? Heated floors. We have none of those features. So we feel that it's not very fair to compare all these homes to our home, okay? And if at all they're compared, we need to get some credit for cost to cure, to make the property marketable. And the kitchen in the subject property is especially very dated and will need to be significantly remodeled before we go ahead and put it on the market.
Is this what?
That's the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and next point is the assessor has merely examined the exterior of the home actually, okay, for comparison purposes. And we feel that it needs to be part of the process to examine the interior of a home periodically, at least every 5 years on average. So.
They're supposed to physically come by your property every 6 years, mm-hmm. just because, I mean, there's just not enough staff to do every single year or every 2 years.
Yeah.
So every 6 years, but at this point, being limited staff, they basically just kind of drive by.
Oh, I see.
So how did you arrive at your $495 value? You submitted a request for $495,000. Mm-hmm. How did you arrive at that value?
We basically took into account cost to cure. We got several bids from various contractors for the roofing, for kitchen, for hardwood floors, broken faucets, all kinds of issues. They are attached. They're all part of the appeal actually. Mm-hmm. And we came up with an amount when we filed an appeal last year of about $70,000 or so for cost to cure. And we subtracted that amount from the market value of the property based on comparables that were sold in the first half of the year.
It looks like you subtracted that from the assessed value from last year.
Well, we filed an appeal last year as well as this year. So this 495.
I know, but you got used the number 522. I don't know where that comes from.
522.
I mean, according to this calculation.
Can I take it from the
table? Right here, you get 522 less this 27 to get to 495.
Okay. So I took three comparables that were sold in the first half of this year, and I averaged them out. Okay. Averaged their sale price. And that's how we came up with this number. And then I scaled up for the square footage of our property.
Okay.
And then subtracted the cost.
So that's where you got the 522.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. This one property here, that your comparable number three,
mm-hmm.
means it got exactly the same square footage as that you say your house is. Do you know anything about that house or the particulars of that house?
It's real close to your house too. Mm-hmm. Neighbor, 3922.
Okay, this right here.
Do you want me to bring it up?
This house, yeah, let's take a look.
For $599. Oh, yeah, okay.
Same square footage, the main floor and top floor, three-car garage.
But they don't have a basement.
But they don't have a basement.
Yeah.
That's the only difference, actually. But otherwise, topology-wise, it's exactly the same, quite similar to our house, except that this has high-end features. And they've recently remodeled before selling the house. And I've examined all the interior pictures. It's all shiny and nice. and really good actually.
So it's been remodeled and
yeah.
Got
okay.
It. Okay. Okay, I think I got it.
I don't have any more questions.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I think it's
okay.
So, to summarize actually, okay, we are requesting a bottoms-up approach here, okay? For the assessors representative to come into our house, examine each and every area actually, okay?
You can request all you want to. It's not likely they're going to come in and examine your house.
Yeah. We can just put it in the decision,
innit? We can state that in the decision, and we can... You can ask them all you want to. It's just unlikely they're going to do it.
I don't know if
you read the news lately, but he got denied an increase in his budget for people. And he's not happy about that. And it's unlikely he's going to take on additional work that he doesn't think he has to.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a one-time request.
If he won't come up from the second floor to the sixth floor to come to this hearing, chances are slim to none he will come to your home.
That answers my question.
So the best you can do is supply us with as much information as you can to determine the value of your house.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that's the facts of life.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I can't do anything about that.
No worries.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming. This is a continuation of the December 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board, at this point, is two properties owned by Eugene and Janet Ritter. Petition 190-10401 for account 185-019-000. And then we have petition 191-09401 for account 185-018-000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Eugene Ritter in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the appraiser, the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I'd like to keep this short and sweet. And since we've met before and over the same issues, and we know the assessor doesn't particularly appraise these properties of mine as they are and what their highest and best use is. We kind of use the one-size-fits-all thing and likes to group the properties together when he appraises them. And I always ask for comparable sales when I file my appeal. And only one time in the last several years did they ever supply any comparable sales, but none were of unbuildable properties. They were all together with other houses on them and that sort of thing. But definitely not a comparable sale in my opinion. This year the assessor used a slightly different tactic in that these properties are contiguous, of course, and so he did one property, he sent the notice of value out in May, and then I did not get the second one until October. And Melanie was kind enough to let me include the two of them together so we didn't have to make a separate appeal and appearance. So my contention is I think the assessor raised these values again around 90 days after you folks lowered the value earlier this year, and once again did not use any appraisal technique other than just went back to the previous value. And so I'm requesting that the board would lower these values back to what you did in the meeting earlier this year.
Explain to me again the circumstances of these properties. Is that the property right there?
That's one of them.
Where's the other? Which one's the other?
Next property east.
East. Oh, east, I'm sorry.
Those are the two.
East, okay.
And why are they not buildable?
They're in Whipple Creek Canyon.
When we've talked about these before, aren't these a really steep canyon here? And then there was something about a power line or power box or water or something.
I have a transformer on the upper right-hand part of that property to the east.
Okay.
And the power lines from that transformer serve three different properties.
And okay, and your house is back here?
Right. My house is on this parcel.
Okay.
I own this parcel. That's not under appeal. This one is one of the properties under appeal. I have a shed-type building on this property. This is where my pump house is, and the transformer I mentioned is right in this area here. And so there's no place to build a house on that property, and that's why we do grow some trees on there, but that's about all it's good for. And I'll go into that after we finish here.
And that dotted line is your driveway, I guess.
Yes.
Put the
contour lines
on.
Right here and here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's Whipple Creek down at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
And most of the homes in the area are built at 160 feet of elevation. Mine's almost exactly, I think it's 161. So there's there is one septic tank in the neighborhood at about the 150 foot elevation farther to the west of my property, but most everything else is above 150 feet.
How did you come up with your value?
Well, I purchased that property to the east, where the arrow is, for $10,000. Now, that's been some years ago. And I bought it because the well was on it. I knew it was not a buildable property. And ever since that time, the assessor always wants to treat it as though it's something different.
Is that a shared well or just for yours?
It was a community well originally. And when I sold the property to the west, or to the east of that parcel, I allowed them to have use of that well until public water became available. But it was set up by the health department and approved as a small community water system.
So they don't use it now?
They do not. No.
They're on public water coming in from
right.
14th or whatever
11th Avenue.
Yeah, 11th Avenue. But you're still on that well water?
Yes.
And are you on septic or sewer?
Septic. Sewers are not anywhere close in that area on that side of the creek.
And that transformer, is there easement on that transfer?
PUD has the easement.
It has an easement. How big is the easement, do you know?
It covers 60 feet of the northern side of that property.
A whole strip or just a square?
Yes.
Is it just a square or where the thing is, or is it? Does it include a line that comes in?
Well, it was basically the northern 60 feet of that property. And that easement went all the way through to serve those other parcels, my house, and so on. They didn't necessarily need an easement that wide, but you know, a road right-of-way is 60 feet, so right. That's what they took.
Yeah, okay.
However, I think at some point in time, if someone, if sewer was were to be available, and the well decommissioned, and someone wanted to go to the expense of moving those power lines, I'm sure the PUD would cooperate and reduce the size of that easement, but at that point, you'd be spending more than the property's worth.
Right. Okay. All right.
Okay. I know I'm not going to do it.
Okay. I don't have any other questions on it. All right.
Okay. Are we finished?
Thanks for coming in.
Why'd you shut your recorder up?
This is a continuation of the December 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is two properties owned by Ann Seeley. Petition number 190-10601 for account 148302000 and petition number 190-10501 for account 148275000. What?
I don't know which one is which, but
okay.
tell me which one we're working on first.
No one is in attendance for the assessor's office, and we have Ann Seeley in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing with the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Yep. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state.
Okay.
The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeals. You can start wherever you want to.
All right. I'll start with the creek property. And I don't know which
is number
that
is. Small piece?
Which is a small piece.
It's okay. The petition 105.
Yeah. It's the one we've been
is gotten this the
to
one
be
you bought?
Good friends with
right.
over the years.
You bought that's kind of...
Yeah. It's a big... There's a creek.
Put the map up so I see if I recognize it.
Yeah.
This part
yes,
right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And
that's where your garden is. And
the creek actually runs like
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't show on there. Which
right.
It is
it shows it. Shows it way up there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's not right.
It goes right through the middle of it, basically.
Yep. It bisects it pretty much. Pretty darn close.
Okay. I remember the property.
Yeah. So no change on that. And, you know, it's basically, it's an unbuildable lot. Because it's a fish-bearing stream, according to
really?
The environmental
how many,
guys.
How many fish do you get out of
there? Yeah, I've never seen a fish in there, but it is recorded
yeah, they're
as a
fishing
fish
every night.
Yeah. There's lots of wildlife around that creek, mm-hmm. I can tell you that, Chicken Creek. But anyway, they actually named it up in here somewhere. There's a little green space, there's a park, and they actually named it Chicken Creek.
Chicken Creek.
A little estuary, I call it an estuary? Anyway, flood zone, I don't know. Anyway, so it's just, it's everything's the same. It's not a buildable lot. You know, it's basically worthless. It's like, okay, it's
you
small.
You bought it in 16 for 8,000?
Six. And I'm saying
what?
It's still
$6,000.
It wasn't worth six when I bought it, but I just wanted to, because this part right here, I didn't realize about this much of it. I have a vegetable garden that's right here, mm-hmm. and the garage ends like right there on my property. So it was like, I didn't know that it was like that. I thought it was more like, you know, over here. So anyway, when I saw that, I thought, oh, I better...
So you had an illegal building, probably.
Yes, I did, actually. I think they changed that to a... Yeah, I added the... In 2002, when I bought the house up above there with the red roof, in 2003, I had them build a garage. And it took months to be able to get approved to build that there. I don't believe that the 300-foot thing was in play then, but it certainly is now.
It's 300 feet up the creek.
I thought it was 300 feet either side.
I thought it was 200 on streams, but mm-hmm. you say it's 300?
300,
wow.
Yeah. So none of those houses could be built now. But they're all grandfathered.
So that creek is in a culvert underneath those streets, right?
It's right, yeah. It goes through a culvert and it comes right out right about here. And you can kind of see the green,
yeah.
how it goes through.
Yeah.
But what we've done is we pulled out all the blackberry bushes and we put in a bunch of natives and stuff. Because I would really like to see us restore that to a fish creek. It is a year-round creek. I see them over by LA Fitness all the time thinking that they're going to get rid of that water there. And I think my guess is that there might be a big old glacial tear underneath that area and they're going to be not able to get rid of that water because I think they got a big bunch of it down there. But anyway, and I think that's where the creek starts, actually, over by LA Fitness, right where you get on I-5. From 78th, if you're getting on southbound.
Over, where are we at?
Yeah.
I got
a
smaller.
So you're close to 78th?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Hazeldale
yeah.
Avenue.
We're on, I'm
right
on the corner of 74th, so.
This yeah. is Hazeldale Avenue, so.
Yeah, it's even further.
Further I mean, over.
There, this is the green space I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
There's little signs talking about Chicken Creek and blah, blah, blah. And it goes right through there.
Right through all of this.
Yeah, and okay. then it heads over there. And then we get all the storm water from this hill. There's a hill here from 78th down, and it's a big hill, and there's no drains on this. So all the water comes down into that storm drain for the most part.
That yeah. storm drain then dumps into that
creek. And it dumps into the creek, yep. Which then goes into the lake.
What lake?
Vancouver Lake.
Vancouver Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it goes.
Yep.
Goes
heads
that
on.
Way?
Yep. Heads on.
West.
Okay, go back that way. To
yeah,
go all the way to
I-5.
Yeah. Where's our friend?
So. Okay.
Where does it cross I-5 at?
Where's 78?
I think it's up a little bit.
Yeah. 73rd. I don't know. Does Chicken Creek cross 78th? Or
No. It's over here.
Yeah.
It's Hazeldale Avenue.
I don't think.
It's south Hazel. Of that. But if you go to LA Fitness, which
turn off
is
the
right,
well,
right there. 70, right there where that 77
She's
is.
78.
Yeah.
Right there where that 77 is in the middle is where LA Fitness is.
No,
it's over there. It's over by there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's over by 5.
Yeah.
It's
and
right
so
there.
Right,
that square. Yeah.
Right here, you'll see a little green space where there's, what do you call them? Red blackbirds, red winged blackbirds and stuff. Oh, there's a little marshy area here and a marshy area here that are basically little green spaces in the middle of the city, but there I see them over there digging again in the last week.
So you think that's where that comes through from?
I think it does, yeah. Initially, yeah. Originally, probably all underground. It's probably an underground.
Okay, I think we got that one.
That's my guess. Okay.
Now the house.
And then we come to my house. It's like, okay, here's a picture of the, and I think I sent
that
to you.
You included that.
All right. So I'm like, you guys, come on. The green line is my building value, and the land is the blue line. Oh, you probably don't have it colored.
Yeah.
Oh, you just have that one.
I don't have a green line.
Okay, that's the building. The green is the building. So it's been pretty consistent. It's gone up with things the way you'd think they would go up. Last year, 2018, they It went up, I think it was close to 35% on the land value. And I thought, okay, well, they've probably done that because they're switching the footage around, saying, hey, we're not going to get the land value that we wanted from the little $6,000 plot, so let's bring that property value back up to where it should be. I assume that's what that was in 2018. But I was a little shocked in 2019 that it went up, I think it was 74%, the land. And I was like, come on, you guys.
What do you think you could sell it for, your house and property? I mean, is $316 a reasonable price, or would you ask $259 if you were selling it?
I think it would be closer to... I think that the building has gone up, mm-hmm. and it went down $1,000. Mm-hmm. So what I could sell it for... I don't know.
We look at total value. And,
okay.
Unfortunately, you need to bring us some evidence of other properties. We can't go by percentage increases because they change that stuff all around all the time. And we're looking at total value
okay.
of the property
okay.
combined.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Ann calls this my sheet. Because it's a sheet that all of us use.
Well, she's got it.
She's got it. She just didn't fill it out.
Didn't put anything in.
So this is all the information on your property, and then you find comparable properties to yours.
Yeah.
And fill out the information on them. It's a... I designed this sheet myself.
Sheet. So it is your sheet.
Yeah. You didn't.
I'm just giving him a hard time.
So what I could sell that house for, I'm guessing I probably could sell it for... $260, something like that. I'm guessing.
Okay. But like Dan said, next year if you
bring in some comparable
yeah.
things. Yeah. It's kind of hard because it's an old farmhouse.
If you need to go out of your neighbor, I mean, you've got to find a comparable. So go as
right.
far out as you have to
right.
find that.
Okay. I thought we did send for.
Not for this year.
Not for this year.
It's a brand new deal.
You say
did it get sent in for the other one? Accidentally, maybe?
No, the other one.
And you say I have attached four new houses of approximate size that were sold in the spring of 19.
Yes.
But nothing is attached.
Well, look it up and make sure.
Yeah, let me make sure it didn't get missed.
I know that we did send it, but whether or not you guys got it, because somebody, I don't know if it was one of you guys or the assessor or whatever, they said, hey, you said you were going to send these four things in. We didn't get it. And so we resent it. And then we didn't hear anything.
From the assessor?
From, I guess it must. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was somebody here that called.
Yeah. Could have been Michelle or I'm not remembering
I think it was a guy.
Oh, so must have been the assessor then.
Assessor? Okay. So we did send four. So, and the average of those four were like 268 or something like that, if I recall correctly.
There we go. Let me see if there was anything that's petition. Okay, there's no extra attachments there. Let me look and just make sure.
Probably
it would have been after the petition.
It probably would have been the summer.
I wonder if it got attached to the other one, maybe.
It might have.
Let me look at that real quick. Okay, that's what we already have.
Okay, so this is like...
We really are looking at comparable sales.
Right.
Okay, so let's...
Well, I know my neighbor, I asked her... the one that lives behind us, she had said her land value had gone up a lot. And I said, well, how much is a lot? And she said about 35%.
Yeah,
but mine had gone up 35% the year before, so I thought, well...
We're seeing all kinds of increases.
Yeah. And that's understandable.
Right.
Just not 74%.
I don't see anything attached except the petitions.
Weird. We'll go look at the petition, make sure that nothing in there.
Well,
I can tell you that the four that was sent in, my partner said, was the average was like 268 on the four.
On the four?
Yeah. That were. I mean, it's really hard to find something. I mean, you know, this house was built in the 1800s, even though it says 1950. It got moved onto the concrete foundation in 1950, so it's actually probably an historical house.
Do you know, did you email it in or bring it in? Or
I think it was emailed.
I can go check. You want me to go check emails real quick?
Yeah, or I hope Michelle do it.
Sorry about that. I thought that was in here. Like I said, what I remember was that the average on them was 268.
So where did they move the house from? Do you know where it was before?
I think they just moved it closer to Anderson Avenue. I think it was the original house there. And
so are you east of Hazeldale Avenue or west?
West.
West, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm right down in a little hole.
Right.
You know, if you go a little bit farther on 78th, you can see the lake down below. But we're kind of down in a little. It's where the tornado came through.
Oh, okay.
If you come down past, what is it, Jason Lee, you come down past around 9th, and then you just have to swing and drop on down.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I'm currently under the crawl space messing with carpenter ant and dry rot.
Oh boy, that's fun.
Yeah.
That house has been, did they do any updating and stuff on it when they moved it? Or, you know, I mean, it's.
Well, I think they put electricity in it in 1950 because all the electrical.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, in the bathroom, yeah. And they took out the kitchen stove and, you know.
But it was a house to begin with.
What I was told was it used to be a plum drying warehouse, maybe originally the building, but then I think they kind of added on to it because the gal that owned it from 1970 to, I think it was like 2001, and she sold it to some flippers, and that's who I bought it from in 2002. But she said that she bought it from a gal who was in her 80s that said she was born in the house.
Wow.
So, and that when the downstairs bedroom before the flippers painted it, she said, I could still smell the fruit in the.
The prune dryer.
Yeah, because it was all tongue. It's all tongue and groove cedar. And of course, they didn't have sheetrock back then, and they didn't want to look like they were all like tongue and groove cedar. So they put quarter inch plywood on it and textured it. So it looks like. Hmm. Like in the living room.
Uh-huh.
It's an interesting house. And then the upstairs, it looks like it might have been one of those, I think it was a Sears, you know, kit thing that maybe they added onto it with that. But I'm not sure.
So there's no insulation then anywhere?
Not in the walls. Not in the walls. I have, of course, added a ton of insulation into the attics, but.
Sorry, I'm not finding anything. I have found the emails. Is it
Sarazan.
Sarazan, thank you.
Hang on, maybe I can get her to.
I found back in June when this came in from a cell phone.
Yes.
And it was Melanie, did you get it? And then I opened all the attachments and it was all of this.
And that was what I think that's when we sent that stuff.
Yeah,
do you want me to try and call her and see if she could, because it would be right on the computer.
Or do you want to continue the hearing? Or?
Well, we can't do anything about it right now.
Okay. So do you want me to see if we can get it quickly or not?
No.
He says no.
Okay. I am going to ask if you would sign that. That petition wasn't signed at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so. Sorry, I couldn't.
Yeah, well, I think it's weird that it didn't.
I checked both, too. I checked our general BOE box and I checked my email
okay.
as well. So
okay.
I didn't see. That's the only thing that came up when I put in Ann Seeley.
Okay. So, do you guys want me to send that to you? I mean, I know that there's rules around that.
Definitely use it for next year.
Okay.
If they have four houses and sold in 19.
I'm out of luck, aren't I?
Yeah.
I got it.
If you find
we didn't
that,
have any indication that they right. they didn't get it. So
well, if you find it, just get a hold of me this afternoon.
Okay.
Know.
Okay.
So because well, if it's something we dropped the ball on, then
yeah, because we know we sent it. So
if you went to the assessor's office, they wouldn't have notified you if they got it or didn't get it. I mean, they just
but it should
totally
still be in the
you.
System. They have to
yeah,
attach it,
right.
and I would see it if
yeah,
it was
right.
in the system. But it
yeah.
doesn't appear to be there. So.
Okay. And it didn't.
So yeah,
accidentally
maybe it's just hanging out there in an email. I don't know.
It didn't accidentally get attached to the creek.
See if you can find it.
Send
it.
Check both of them.
And where it was sent and when it was sent and Melanie.
Yeah,
okay.
Because if there is a screw up on our side, then definitely we'll reconsider it.
Okay. Just as a question, I guess, you know, typically we figured out that this the property, the land value has been going up on average because there's been dippity doos and whatever, about 3% a year. So is it normal for 74%?
No.
That kind of thing? I mean, it just seems like it was a...
The assessor readjusts the land and building quite often, and I'm not sure all the reasons why, but land typically goes up. Let's say there's a little infill part that somebody builds four houses on, and the
right.
land value goes up.
I see.
Then it tends to cause the land value all around it to go
right.
up, because they're
right.
saying that's the current market value
sure.
for land under a house.
Sure.
So that tends to rise, but it shouldn't go up 74%.
Yeah, I mean, in the neighborhood, that's kind of happened. You know, there used to be a trailer down the street, you know, and they tore that down, built a couple nice houses. So the value in the area, I think, has gone up. So
right.
it didn't surprise me that it went up 35% that one year, because I thought, well,
yeah,
okay.
sometimes it does jump, because if there's a major development that goes in, the land values do
yeah.
just
yeah.
pop right up there with it. But
yeah. I was like,
and you'll see the adjustment. What happens is that the total value of the property doesn't go up as much. Maybe it go up 5 to 6 or 7 or 10, even up to 10%.
Yeah.
But the fact is that the land has gone up so much, which causes the whole thing to go up.
Right.
And your house ended up going down because the total value is
yeah.
still not going up that much.
What's square footage? What kind of square footage is your house?
I think it's like 1,400.
Is that including the upper floor also?
Yeah. It is a kind of 3.5 bedroom. Now it's 2.5.
Looks like 892 on the main and 576 on the second.
1468.
Okay, yeah, 14, yeah. Yep.
Is that shingle, composition shingle on the roof?
Yes.
I thought from the overhead picture kind of looked like it was tile, but
yeah, no, but it's red. But the guy said, the assessor said, oh, and you put a new roof on it. In 2002 when I bought it, it was a new roof.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not new anymore.
I mean, I did have new gutters put on it, and it has been painted since then. A lot of wood damage, a lot of carpenter ant and dry rot damage, and I'm working on that right now, and the foundation. So that's why I say probably 260.
You built another, because that looks like the garage is on the opposite side, or is that the back of the house?
It's no. on the side.
And you built that garage?
Yeah.
And
in 2003.
So the other property of the creek
over
is over here?
It's, if you're looking
the
at
back
it,
back corner.
It's kind of
yeah.
back there. Okay.
Yeah, so my property is like this. Mm-hmm. And the garage is right there, and then that new property is, or not new property, well, it's new to me.
Well, yeah, the back corner of this was almost touching that other
yes,
parcel.
Yes. And when I saw that, I was like, and the gal that lived there from 1970 to 2001, her sons grew up mowing all that lawn that wasn't hers.
And I'm saying this just, I have no idea whether
yeah.
it would help you or not, but
yeah.
I think it might help you is if you did a boundary line adjustment and included all of that property together.
Well, I thought about that.
You know, dissolve that as a separate property.
Yeah.
So then you'll have a property with extra-sized large lot, but it won't necessarily be valued separately then.
Right. But then they can say, well, it's buildable. But it isn't buildable still. But
it's not buildable. No, they can't.
The assessor, you know, to add a little.
They can't tell you it's buildable because it's not.
Yeah.
There's no question it's not buildable.
Right.
Because you're in a creek. You got setbacks, and your garage is right there anyway, so...
So I got a question for you guys. Somebody suggested, a friend of mine suggested, why don't you donate the creek property? Well, I don't want to donate the whole thing because part of it's my vegetable garden and stuff, but donate the creek property to the parks.
They may not want it.
They may not take because they'd have to maintain it.
Then they have to maintain it,
yeah.
And they don't, so... Well, it was worth a thought. I thought about combining it before, but then when I talked to the assessor, she said, "Well, then you won't be able to challenge the value, because he'll say, which is what the assessor said a couple of years ago, you know, with these combined property, the square footage, da 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 da, and they included that square footage of the creek. Well, it's not buildable, so what?
It's still one home site, and they can't argue that it's more than one home site, so that it's, you can't be that much more than the homes in the neighborhood, because even though it's larger, it's restricted because you can't build in it.
Right.
So it's really just buffer zone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't stop them though from putting something like that on there. So that's why it's good that you pay attention, because that wouldn't stop them. From,
right. Right. And
we've seen them do.
That's,
you know,
what they did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in truth, do you own this parcel, too?
Yes.
This parcel and all of that?
Yes.
Correct? So it really comes all the way around here.
This is me now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this, because it's on this side of the creek, these guys still maintain this part right in here, even though it kind of goes to that tree and all that.
Well, it enhances their yard.
Yeah. 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 No, it's a, you know, it's lovely. And they completely redid this house. This house was like, anyway, it got sold for $250 a year and a half ago. And so it's about the same size lot, but it's a little bit smaller house, I think, and stuff too. But this is the folks that I said their property went up about 35% this last year.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, we got it.
All right, well, great. I will try to send that, and if that's
helpful, let me know.
Great. If not, oh well.
Okay.
Messed up.
This is a continuation of the December 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Cynthia Thompson, petition number 19010101, for account number 259391000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Cynthia Thompson in attendance by teleconference. And Cynthia, just so you know, board members present today are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and our chairman, Daniel Weaver. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I swear.
Okay, just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions,
okay.
I'm going to let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. I know it sounds like you already started to look over it and you compared it. So one of the things is I wanted to ask if you had any questions for me in regards to the appeal, since when you were looking over it, I wasn't present. So do you have any questions for me in regards to the appeal, the comparison?
Well, I guess the big question is the makeup of that extra building you have with the four garages and dormers on top. What is that building?
So what it is it's just it's a garage. So our CC&Rs, if you own anything, you have to have it in your garage. So due to we have an RV, the RV has to be parked in a garage. Your vehicles are to be parked in your garage. Your garbage containers are to be in your garage. Everything is to be in your garage. So when I first built the house, we didn't have any room for any luxury things. So we had to build a garage to support all those things. And then due to my family size, the above is for storage of all of our like Christmas items and some of like my grandparents' old handy-down things, kind of is what it is. It's a storage area.
So is it finished? Is the upstairs finished with sheetrock, carpeting, heat, any of that?
No.
Okay.
No bathrooms and no kitchens or anything?
Nope.
In the building at all?
No.
Okay, no plumbing, but there's electricity.
Correct. We have just the plumb part is for the water, for water outside.
Okay.
Okay.
So like we have the get for outside to for water. That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else you want to tell us? Any other questions?
Nope, I don't have anything else. I just wanted to make sure all questions were clarified before decision was made.
No, I don't have
okay.
any questions.
Nothing else? Okay. Yeah. Nope, we got it then.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for giving me a few minutes of your time.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Close it here.
This is the December 6th. Hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present this morning are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. First case before the board this morning is property owned by Troy and Christine Vickery. This is petition 19009901 for account number 966265554. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions? Close it here.